Our next guest on Downtown, one of the most unique voices in all of music. Been making great music for more than 30 years. And has got a terrific new album called Rebel Moon Blues. Let's give a little listen right here. That is The Key from the brand new album Rebel Moon Blues, and we are so happy to be joined this afternoon by Sass Jordan. Thank you so much for being with us. I could listen to this album and that song especially all day long.
That's awesome. Great to be here. Nice to see you. Nice to hear you, actually, because I can't actually see you. So I'm sort of doing like, I have to imagine what you look like from your voice.
Think Brad Pitt, maybe 2 years older.
Oh my goodness, just like me. I'm teasing. I'm so glad you picked that song. Isn't that funny? I was just talking about that song with my manager about an hour and a half ago, because it's the only song on the record that I wrote.
That's why I picked that song, other than the fact that it's also, it's my favorite song on the album, though. It's great.
That is crazy. I am so thrilled to hear that. I can't wait to tell Peter. My God.
Now, people are surprised who've been following your music to say, well, this is not her first blues album. I mean, you've certainly flirted with blues through the years. You've got such a bluesy sound to your voice. But what made you decide this was the time to just jump right in?
Well, you know, I think it has a lot to do with, you know, the fact that I've been doing this for so long, and I finally now feel that I have enough life experience under my belt to be able to deliver what's called the blues with authenticity and integrity, and not just, you know, trying to jump on a bandwagon. I definitely have the life experience at this point to be able to do this, you know, genuinely from the heart.
So you got,
I think that's the main reason, yeah.
You got to live a little bit to be able to sing the blues.
You got that right, baby. I don't mean that somebody who's younger can't do it. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about for me, personally, you know, for me, yeah.
Well, The Key is the original song on the album, but some great covers. How did you go about picking the songs that you wanted to put on this album?
Okay, so the weirdest thing is they picked me.
Even better.
I didn't pick them. They came to me. It was like the songs came up into my awareness, and they went, yo, I'm next, brah. I'm not a bra, I'm a bro, I'm a sis. Anyways, it was like, okay, fine. It's really funny, Rich. There was no real struggle. I wasn't going through any kind of like, oh my God, what the heck am I going to do? Originally, in the beginning, I was like, how am I ever going to find songs out of this massive, I mean, we're talking gigantic, a catalog of songs that fall into the blues category, you know, well, and then all the offshoots of that. But it's exactly like I said, the songs just came to me through either my band members, or I was listening to like Sirius FM, or I was looking something up on YouTube and one of the songs would just come to me. I mean, there's not a whole heck of a lot of them. There's only seven, right? So, but this is the first seven that came to me and asked me and said, no, they didn't ask me. They said to me, you're allowed to do me.
Well,
how often does that happen in your life?
Not often enough. I'm glad they did, and I'm glad, yeah, I love the key. That's my favorite, but next to that, of those songs that reached out to you, Palace of the King, oh my God, it's just awesome.
I know, I love that song! Well, basically, I love every single song on the record, or I wouldn't have done them, but each and every one of them is special to me, for all different kinds of reasons. Palace of the King, it's a song... I remember the first time I heard it, I was just absolutely transfixed. I loved it and completely forgot about it. And then when we were starting to look for the songs for the record, my guitar player, Chris Cadell, sent it to me and said, why don't we do this? And I'm like, oh my Lord. Yes, let's do it. And that's kind of how that one happened.
You've said before that rhythm makes a great singer. Why is that?
Yes, 1,000%. Rhythm, feel, time, these are all the things that convey emotion properly to me. In a song or when you're singing, it's all about the phrasing and where you put the emphasis and where you take the breath. And that's what makes a brilliant singer to me. For example, one of the masters, oh my God, there's so many. So if I say one, that doesn't mean that there aren't a billion others, you know what I mean? But one of the masters, well, two of the masters, I'll come to mind immediately, Paul Rodgers, from Bad Company.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Cocker, Aretha Franklin, Gladys Knight. Sadly, we could be here for the next 2 years. It's very difficult to articulate what I mean by that, but hopefully what I've said is helpful. It's emotion is conveyed through the rhythm of a song, the beat.
Well,
the vibe.
I think of an example, even from the world of country music, that no one would say Willie Nelson has got a great voice, but his unique phrasing, his ability to work around the beat, that's what makes him who he is.
There you go. There you go. So you got it. That's exactly right. It doesn't matter what the genre of music is. It's 100% the phrasing for me. Yes. Yes.
You mentioned Joe Cocker. What was the experience like recording with him for the Bodyguard soundtrack?
Well, if I had actually recorded with him, I'm sure it would have been brilliant. But sadly, he was not present when I did my part in that song. It's a bit of a long story. I don't know how much time you've got.
We have time. You tell. Oh, well, please do tell.
I'll try and give you the Coles notes. So it the whole thing came about because Kevin Costner, who was the producer and the star of that film, The Bodyguard, was a massive Joe Cocker fan, and he wanted a Joe Cocker song on the soundtrack. Most of it was Whitney Houston, as you probably know. But he wanted to add in like a Joe Cocker song. And the song he wanted was the song that's on the record called Trust in Me. Now, that song had been recorded prior to the recording of the soundtrack for the film. That song, Trust in Me, had been recorded about 4 years previously. And they had used an Australian singer, sadly I don't know her name, as the... duet partner for Joe on that song. Now, Kevin was driving around LA one day and heard one of my songs on the radio and went, that's the voice I want on that Joe Cocker song. I want to replace the original and I want to put this new voice on it. And that's how I got the part, so to speak. But Joe, because he had already recorded it 4 years Pryor was nowhere to be seen. Until, and so then after that, I toured with Joe for 4 months, 4 or 5 months, as his support act. But I never, ever met him during that 4 months because we would have to leave after our show every night in order to get to the next gig, to the next town. So I never got to meet him. You know, we would be there maybe for the first 3 songs of his set. But I never was there at the end of the set and got to meet him. I never, it never happened until the last night. His manager goes, "Sass, Joe, this is Sass." And I'm like, "Oh my God, it's such an honor to meet you. I love you so much. You're one of my greatest inspirations and heroes. I just think you're one of the greatest singers ever. And thank you so much for letting me sing that song with you. That was the most extraordinary experience." And he's looking at me sort of in a bemused expression on his face. And he says, and he goes, "What song?" And his manager jumps in and he goes, "Oh, hang on, let's trust him." He had no idea.
Oh,
like, and to me that was a lesson in showbiz right there, ladies and gentlemen. It's all smoke and mirrors.
I love it. We're talking with Sass Jordan here on Downtown. Yeah, you've had so many wonderful albums through the years. Is Rats still your favorite?
It's one of them. I'll tell you what, I have three favorite records that I've ever made. One of them is Rats. One of them is something you've never heard of, which was a project I did called Something Unto Nothing. And one of them is this blues one, Rebel Moon Blues. I really, really love it. I love it so much, I'm going to do another one.
That's fantastic. I have to tell you, though, I also loved when you revisited Racine. That was some terrific stuff.
I love that record, too, yes. Yes. Sorry, cut you right off.
No, not at all. Let's talk about acting. What was it like getting to play Janis Joplin on stage and Love Janis?
That was a piece of work because I was not a fan to begin with at all. And I didn't actually want that job. But what happened? Again, here's another classic Sass. Oh, yes. So the producers of the show flew me to New York to do the audition. And the reason I said yes, I would love to do this audition, had nothing to do with the actual show or the part. It was the fact that I would get a free flight to New York and I would get to hang out with one of my best friends, Loretta, for the afternoon in New York and then fly home. I was so ecstatic and over the moon about getting to do this for free that I was like, woo! Anyways, and I learned the songs. Not for one second did I think I was going to get the damn job. That was an accident, gentlemen. It was a horror. I was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I can't say no. I can't say no now that they've flown me here. I thought for sure, I didn't think in a million years I would get the job. I guess they were pretty desperate. Anyway, so I got this job singing 19 Janis Joplin songs a night. And I, not being a fan prior to the show, was kind of overwhelmed by it. And oh my goodness, if it wasn't for my friend Katrina, I don't know how I'd have made it through. She played Janis as well. She was another, because they had about 8 Janises because it was such a punishing piece of work that they needed multiple people to play the part. It was just, it was excruciating. Anyways, in the end, what happened was, I came out with a great deal of experience under my belt and a huge new respect for the singer Janis Joplin, who was actually brilliant. Not necessarily my thing, and certainly not what I would consider one of my major inspirations, but I now have an enormous respect and totally appreciate her. So that was great. That was a great thing that came out of that.
How did you get involved with Canadian Idol?
An audition, I guess. And, oh my God, all these things make me laugh because they're so silly in retrospect. But my agent called and said, you know, I've just got a request for you to come and do an audition for this show they're doing called Canadian Idol. It's kind of like a talent show kind of thing. And I went, not a chance, buddy. Say no. You know, those cheesy buggers, all they want, you know, it's some cheesy, they're going to ask me to do, because I had been asked to do something like that prior to it. And it was like, we need you for 8 years and we're going to pay you $7,000 honorarium. I'm like, no. Anyway, so I thought it was a repeat version of that, of course. So I go, no, I'm not interested. Plus, you know, I'm a singer. I'm not a judge, for goodness sake. Anyway, so about 2 days goes by. My agent calls back and he says, Kath, do you have any idea how much these people want to pay you? And I'm like, no. What, $7,000? And he's like, no. And then he tells me, I almost faint, and I go, when's the audition? I'll be right there.
That's better than a free plane ticket.
It was way better than a free plane ticket. And I was there with bells on, because let me tell you, this is not an easy line of work to make money in. So it was delightful, and I enjoyed myself to no end, and I'm so glad that happened. We had the best time for 6 years. We really did. I look back on that with absolute fondness. It was not something I regret in any way, shape, or form. It was fabulous.
All right, I have to ask you, what's going on with the Kick-Ass Sass Wine and Rebel Moon Whiskey?
Oh, baby. Booze and blues, I say. I said, booze and blues. Well, the wine keeps selling out, so I think we're doing pretty good with that. And the whiskey is still in the middle of, well, what happened was we were just about to start getting into the real nitty-gritty of it, and then this whole situation that we're all living through right now hit. So it's on hold as, you know, the world figures itself out. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
As soon as we can get back into the, you know, to the logistics and all of that, we have the juice, we have the bottle, we have the label, we just have to figure out the whole, we have the producer, it's all, like, the distillery, everything is all set up. We just have to get it sorted out. I don't even know. It's like the business end of it, which, of course, has never been my favorite end.
Check out Sass's webpage. It is sassjordan.com. And most of all, get this new album. It is some great stuff. Love it. Rebel Moon Blues. And yes, I'll say it. I don't care. The Key is the best song on there. Listen for yourself and you be the judge. Sass, it has been great to talk to you. Thanks for making a little time for us today.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Thank you, Rich. And thank you, everybody, for listening to my silly stories.
Not silly.
A blast to tell.
We loved it. Be well, Sass. Thank you.
You too. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. For now.